القرآن القرآن القرآن
تفسير with مولانا شفيق حاجي on رياض الذاكرين
القرآن
نور فؤادك يا إنسان.
Let us now continue with the Qur'an al-Kareem. Firstly, the hadith on the importance of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three persons are such as will have no fear of the horrors of the Day of Judgment, nor will they be required to render any account. They will stroll merrily on mounts of musk until the people are relieved of rendering their account. One is a person who learned the Quran merely seeking Allah's pleasure and therewith leads people in salah in a manner that they are pleased with him. The second person is one who invites men to salah for the pleasure of Allah alone. And the third person is the one who has fair dealings between him and his master, as well as between himself and his subordinates. So in the light of this hadith sharif, let us go to the Quran al-Kareem, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 270, and thereafter we follow its tafsir.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
وما أنفقتم من نفقة أو نذرتم من نذر فإن الله يعلمه وما للظالمين من أنصار.
صدق الله العظيم.
صدق الله العظيم. سورة البقرة revealed in مدينة المنورة. It consists of 286 verses. It is the second surah in the noble Quran, and this surah has 40 rukus. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in verse 270, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ نَفَقَةٍ أَوْ نَذَرْتُمْ مِنْ نَذَرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُهُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ. Allah is aware of all charities and vows. After mentioning the various injunctions of charity and its etiquette, now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes brief mention of the fact that He is ever aware of whatever is spent in His way, be it apparent or be it hidden. And therefore, even if a person gives anything in charity quietly, the right hand giving out, that even the left hand doesn't know what the right hand has given out, that all hidden charities, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is aware of it. And this verse therefore emphasizes what was previously then mentioned. And at the same time, mention is also made of vows which become binding on a person upon their inception by their general or attached. And here, a general vow that, for example, refers to a vow when a person says that he vows to observe a fast for Allah, or perform two rakats of salah, or give some charity. Now the attached vow here, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions that it refers to when a person vows to accomplish such an action upon the occurrence of a specific event, like recovery from illness. He says that, look, when I feel well and my illness and I get shifa, then he says that I take a vow, maybe to read two rakats of salah or give something in charity. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hajj also that they should fulfill their vows. Mention here is made of vows together with sadaqah in this particular verse, because many a time people vow to give certain sums of money in charity. Now taking a vow is not encouraged in Islam. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited the taking of vows and said that it cannot prevent anything and merely serves to extract something from a miser. And this has been mentioned in Bukhari, volume 2, page 990. Jama'at al-Muslimin. Now, despite the prohibition, if a person takes a vow, he will have to complete it unless it is for a sinful act. Somebody took a vow of doing some guna, some wrong, then definitely in that case he doesn't carry out that act. In that case, he will have to break the vow and pay the kafara, which will, insha'Allah, be discussed in the beginning of Surah Ma'idah. When we come to that particular surah of the Qur'an al-Kareem, we will then discuss this in detail there. Here one ruling also, that it is haram to take a vow of anything that is not permissible. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates that Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever vowed something in the obedience of Allah should be obedient to Allah. Should be obedient to Allah. And whoever took a vow that was in the disobedience of Allah should not disobey him. This also has been mentioned in Bukhari, volume 2, page 991. This implies that no person should feel obliged to enact the sinful actions which he vowed to do. Instead, he should do the opposite and pay the kafara, as narrated in Mishkatul Masabih, page 298, from reports in Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi. One should refer to the books of fiqh for the detailed rulings as far as qasam is concerned, as far as vows are concerned. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the oppressor shall have no helper. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ, that the oppressor shall have no helper, that every sin is an act of oppression, be it a major or minor. Many a times a person takes that a sin is small, it's lighter, it's very small, so he continues making that sin. Now remember, once that a person is involved in minor sins, then slowly, slowly he will go to the major sins. Taking minor sins lightly, he then went and fell into the major sins. And then it becomes difficult for him to avoid such sins because he's so involved into it. So therefore, the minor sins first has to be stopped in our lives. So that will prevent us going on to the major sins. Now some may even be a cause for others to be oppressed. But in reality, any sin causes oppression upon one's own soul because it will subject him to punishment. The greatest form of oppression is, therefore, it is, what is it? It is kufr and shirk. And once when a person is in kufr and shirk, then he is out of the fold of Islam. Never mind if this world in the year after definitely has nothing that Allah will give him in the year after. Only by that of azab and punishment. So Jama'at al-Muslimin, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, let us give charity with whole heart, with full sincerity, for the pleasure of Allah jalla jalaluhu. Let us also give it in quietness, hidden way, which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is aware of. And Allah will reward a person in abundance for that. And also may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from kufr and shirk, as we should always make this dua, and I always repeat it many a times on the airways of Radio Islam International, that we should make this dua all the time. Allahumma thabbitna ala al-iman, wa amitna ala al-iman, wa hashurna yawm al-qiyamati ma'al iman. That we leave this world, we be steadfast with iman, we leave at a time of our leaving this world, the time of death, Allah take us with iman. And insha'Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah with iman. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ.